Welcome to the ITAD Talk Podcast and part three in this series.
And another question for Roger. As you've been talking with companies during the transition process, what are the biggest challenges that you're hearing from companies?
Well, one of the most consistent themes, Jeff, is companies don't know about the knowledge base. So they're asking questions that are answered already in the knowledge base and are waiting instead for a new guidance document, for instance. Mm. And that's totally understandable because we've had a guidance document since R2 first came out. So the awareness of the knowledge base is an issue. And that's a challenge to many companies because they just don't know the stuff is there already. For instance, when it's time to do a data standardization plan for Appendix B for the data standardization requirement, it's a fairly extensive document. There's specific things asked for that are items A through M, however many things that is, it went to 13 different things. Those things are all listed in a document that shows how to create a data standardization plan. We created these tools to help companies do this, but unless companies know that it's there, they'll end up reinventing the wheel and doing it on their own. In addition, there's some confusion as to what appendices do apply to the facilities because the overall appendix structure is new, so they don't know where they need to be working depending on what activities they do versus what activities they would like to farm out to some other R2 certified company that might do these activities. Again, data standardization is a great example. It could install a bunch of devices to electronically sanitize or wipe data bearing devices, or they can send it to somebody who does that already. So it's their choice which they want to do. In addition, there's a lot of confusion right now about the downstream vendor verification for R2 V3 companies versus R2 2013 companies, the old version of the standard versus the new version. As Patty said, in audit time, it's to the advantage of a company that they worked with R2 V3 certified companies, because if you're sending material to an R2 V3 company, it adds zero audit time to your audit. It's very much a sped up process, where in the old audits, every downstream vendor needed to be checked by the auditor. If a company sends only to R2 V3 companies, the audit time for that area is reduced to nothing. So getting to an R2 V3 company, when there's now only, how many, Patty? About 50 in the world certified so far?
I think we've even topped that. I think we're closer to 60.
Really? Okay. Out of 1,005 R2 companies certified in the world and 33 companies, there's 60 of them that are right now at R2 V3. So the other ones are R2 2013. And because the requirements are so different, the R2 2013 companies, when they work with an R2 V3 company, the R2 2013 companies have to provide more documentation than they did in the past. And it's a temporary thing that will exist for the next year and a half, and we have to just deal with it. I describe it like driving through a construction zone on a freeway. It's bumpy for a few months, and then it's very much better to drive on once it's finished. So during the transitional time, it is difficult to work with the two versions of the R2 standard, and we know that.
So a quick question on that. Are some companies opting to not go through with R2 V3, and like what percentage? And then in that case, will they just not be certified, or that they won't be in that class any longer then, I guess?
We don't have any hard numbers on that, Jeff, but only because there's been so few companies that have completed the transition to R2 V3. We know a number of companies are evaluating whether to do that or not, and it's totally understandable. If it's too complicated, that they may choose not to. We encourage them to see if they can find a way through it, of course. But if they can't, and if it's really impossible for them to comply with everything in the requirements, there might be some conditions where they may need to not be certified to R2 V3.
Okay, and then one other question. How many of the companies that are certified or being certified use a outside consulting firm for help?
We don't have a hard and fast number on that either. I would say probably 90%.
Wow. Okay.
Use a consultant, but with the knowledge And prior to R2v3, I would say even more than that, probably 95%. But I do know of a couple companies that are working on R2v3 on their own without a consultant. One of them is achieved certification. And the knowledge base really helps them to do this. The other thing, too, while we certainly can't act as their consultant, we are really happy to answer questions. So I would say at any given time, I probably have three companies that are in the process of pursuing certification. And this was actually true with R2 2013 as well. But I probably always have three different companies that are in the process that call me once a week or email me once a week with a specific question. Hey, we're trying to do this. And can you explain in more detail about industrial hygiene programs? And so we're happy to answer those kinds of questions for folks.
So the best way then, if they have those questions, they would go to your website, and is there a drop-down box, or if they want to ask you a question?
Yes, so there's really two ways they can do that. If they go to the knowledge base page, which is sustainableelectronics.org/knowledge-base, if they go to that page, they can see common questions and answers about R2v3. And there's a place for them to click here to submit your question. Or they can go to the Contact Us page and fill out a Contact Us form and submit their question that way. And then we get back within, a couple of business days.
Okay, great. So is there anything else? Roger, do you have a comment?
Those questions are really interesting for us to receive, too, because it is companies that are actually doing it day-to-day, and they have legitimate concerns of need of a clarification of a requirement or something like that. And very often when we answer the question, we reformat that answer and turn it into a question and answer document on the knowledge base. So the more companies ask questions, the more material we have out there. If with 1,000 companies in the world certified to R2, it's highly unlikely that the question is totally unique to one facility. So that's why it's really great to be able to do that. It's a challenge for us, keeps us sharp, and makes Betty and me talk almost every day. So it's an interesting process.
So
the other thing that we're doing is we're scheduling one-on-one consultations, and actually that's a little bit of a misnomer, because sometimes it will be Roger and I had a call a couple weeks ago, and they probably had five people from their team. They're currently R2 2013 certified. They're working to R2v3, and they had a list of about 20 questions that they provided us ahead of time, and we loved it because it was very detailed. Everyone had the exact R2v3 reference, but we discussed that. We had an hour meeting. We were able to answer those questions. They just sent us a couple follow-ups yesterday, which we're going to answer again. So again, we're really happy to do that.
Great. So is there anything else that you would like to cover that you think that we've missed or that might be important for the listeners to hear about the process of getting certified?
Well, just what Betty said. Go ahead, Betty.
I've spoken to a number of the organizations that have achieved R2v3 certification, asking their particular challenges. Was it what they expected? Harder, more challenging? Pretty much all of them said it wasn't overly cumbersome, but it did take a lot of preparation and planning. So starting early so that they had time to do that internal audit in plenty of time for their certification audit was very beneficial.
That actually brings up a good question. It seems like that sometimes when companies first get certified, that maybe not everybody in the company is kind of on board, and maybe there's one or two people that are pushing through everything that needs to be done and the documentation, but that the rest of the staff is only following it kind of prior to audits and things. And as time goes by, you have to get everybody involved. Everybody's got to be conscious and understanding of all the different parts of the process and basically buy into doing it properly. Do you find that as well?
That is so true. One of the saddest things that I hear, and I've heard this a handful of times, you mentioned people calling and saying, hey, I need to be certified next week, my supplier said. We get those calls, and we get people that will hire a consultant. They will rely almost exclusively on the consultant to help them prepare for certification, and they get certified, but they didn't take the time to really understand what they needed to do and the mm-hmm. kinds of records on an ongoing basis that they need to maintain. And so in year two, when they had that surveillance audit, they're surprised that, there are lots of nonconformances, and some of them have been suspended. You know, some have even lost their certification. So all of that money and time and effort really wasted because they didn't fully understand that it's an ongoing thing that everyone needs to be invested in.
Right.
Which is why we encourage companies to have an internal audit roughly halfway through their audit cycle year, so they can catch things before they become more serious, or take adequate time to correct everything before the annual main third-party R2 audit. So it's a year-round thing. I had an auditor for years who said that a good company has no need to prepare for an audit. They're doing it right anyway.
Wow.
That's something to aim for. Very few companies actually do that, and we're not so idealistic. We think that, but that's a good goal, to say an audit should be just a check of what's going on anyway. It shouldn't be something that's after 3 weeks of really intense preparation and trying to remember what that document was for that you looked at last a year ago. So it's an effort on our part to be as helpful as possible to these companies around the world who need the certification for one reason or another. And the staff reaches out to try to help them through that process. I will add, and Patty's way too modest to this, but I will add that Patty has a monthly, very informal webinar, intro to R2, that's available for anyone to sign up for, and it's free. And Patty does a great job with this, and she talks people through a lot of the details of what she just talked about with us in the last few minutes and more. In addition, we have an auditor training program, a lead auditor training, so that especially larger companies can send somebody to this, and they would end up trained just like an auditor is trained for what to look for, what the process is. That there is a fee for that one, but it's 3 days long, and I took it myself when I was a compliance manager for a large recycler in Michigan, and it was really helpful to prepare and to think in terms of the overall systems involved and how it affects the operations of a facility.
Great. Well, that's definitely what would be quite a help and a savings, considering that both the consultant and the auditors, they have to, when they do come on site, you've got their airfare, their hotel, the rental car, and so on. So there is quite a cost to getting that or getting through that process.
Mm-hmm. One other thing, just to mention on the intro webinars. We now offer them 2 to 3 times a month in all different time zones, so that, whether you're in the U.S. or Australia or Hong Kong, you can at least once a month find one in a time zone that's more convenient.
Well, nice.
Don't know how Patty does it from Minnesota, but yeah, she does active webinars in Australia. It just is incredible.
Huh.
Yeah. It's like magic.
Well, that's great. So once more to wrap up, do you have anything else that we've missed or that you think would be important?
No, we're here to help.
Okay.
But we really thank you so much, Jeff, for the opportunity to talk to you today and to share with your audience information that we hope will help them.
Great. And once again, I'd like to thank our guest, Patty and Roger from sustainableelectronics.org. And feel free to go on their website and look at their resources and contact them for any questions that you have regarding becoming R2 certified. I think we've been, I'm trying to remember how long we've been, it's probably close to a decade that we've been certified. So it definitely is a process, and each year you get better and better at it. And there are improvements that you get from the organization and from your company and from people following all the standards. It just makes your company stronger and better. And of course, processing electronic waste in a proper method. So once again, I want to thank both of you for being our guest on ITAD Talk, and that's been very informative, and thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Don't forget to subscribe and like the show on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you listen.